Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, chickens. This is the fabulous Adam Richard, and I have a theory. Oh, hey, chickens. Watching A Nightmare on Eden. It's not A Nightmare on Eden, just Nightmare of Eden. A Nightmare on Eden. There used to be a TV show called Return to Eden, which I loved when I was younger. It was kind of like Australia's version of the big shoulder pad rich soap opera thing. It started out as like a mini series where Rebecca Gillin got eaten by a crocodile. Plastic surgery and came back as a supermodel. She was a very dowdy woman. And then she was a supermodel and then she got her revenge. Anyway, James Rain was her husband that she got revenge on. It was quite camp. And then there was a TV series version and just, I think it only ran for about 2 seasons, but I loved it. Anyway, Nightmare of Eden, not that. we start with some dramatic spaceship music, and it's doing some weird thing, like going choo-choo-choo-choo-choo, like there's trails. It's obviously in some sort of hyperspace business. The co-pilot on board seems a little bit too chilled about coming out of warp, and then there's the passengers are all looking very excited, wearing matching hoodies and 3D glasses. Apparently they're protective coveralls for some reason, and they're traveling at 0.7 g. So careful when you get out of your chairs, everyone. There's a warning light on the pilot's panel, and the co-pilot does not care. He's like, what's a few degrees? And then another spaceship comes out of nowhere, and the captain's like, no! The cruise liner just sort of materializes in the same section of space as the smaller ship, and they sort of get locked together. Then some guys in like glittery tunics are facing like a weird electronic effect in a doorway, saying access to the passengers is blocked by the hull of another ship. The pilot cracks it with the dippy dazed co-pilot, who does help by turning off the noisy alarm. Like, there's this noisy alarm going on for ages. then the TARDIS lands in a corridor. And there's lots of, like, you know, kind of safety tape everywhere, black and yellow stripes. I'm like, this is the safest spaceship I've ever seen. Don't go here, you'll hurt yourself. By the way, the TARDIS is looking quite battered, the old girl. The prop needs, I think it's had one too many licks of paint. I think maybe they need to rebuild it. The Doctor, Romana and K-9 pop out and they're assessing the overlapping ships, and Romana wonders why there wasn't an explosion, and the Doctor suggests one of the ships was dematerialized when the accident happened, which is exactly what happened. Romana says they shouldn't interfere, and the Doctor's like, of course we should. You always do what you're best at. then there's a big airlock sign and a man in a silver spacesuit comes through it, and so the Doctor and Romana decide to follow him. He turns out to be the captain of the other ship, and he's on the bridge of this ship now, the big luxury cruise liner, and both of the captains are just yelling about whose fault it is, who's going to pay, who's going to have to... it's just, you know, basically like when you have a car accident and you're like, no, it wasn't my fault, it was your fault. No, it's your fault. Anyway, it's one of those moments. The doctor says he's from Galactic Salvage and Insurance, and he suggests separating the ships. And Romana's like, well, it's theoretically possible. And the captain's like, well, I would, but I can't get any power. And he starts flicking a button on the... And the doctor's like, sure, that's the right button. He's like, yeah, that's the right button. The useless co-pilot takes the doctor and K-9 to the power unit. And Romana goes off with the pilot of the other ship. The pilot of the cruise ship looks up Galactic Salvage and Insurance on his computer, and apparently they're not in business anymore. The doctor's alibi does not pan out. The co-pilot is very anxious now, and he's like, oh, it's down there, turn left and turn right, and then he tries to run away. And the doctor's like, what, you said you were going to take us there. He goes, no, I've got something to do. I'm busy. And he runs off. So the doctor, rather than going where he tells him, follows him. Then he's stumbling about in the dark, the co-pilot, bumping into walls, and he uses his card to access a drawer in what looks like a fairly ordinary chest of drawers, like a, you know, filing cabinet thing. So he pulls out like a weird implement and then leaves. The doctor and K-9 watch all this. The doctor opens the same drawer with his sonic screwdriver, pulls out a similar implement, and he empties something from it, and K-9 analyzes it and says it's a drug derived from a fungus known as Vraxoan. The doctor says he's seen whole communities and planets destroyed by this drug, and it causes complacency and apathy, and soon after it wears off, you're dead. Romana is talking to a zoologist who's on the verge of cataloguing every creature in the galaxy. That is a big job. He needs financing for his next mission, and he used to get government funding, but there's been a galactic recession. And then he shows Romana his CET, the continuous event transmitter, where his specimens are collected and put into a crystal, and they go on living in a virtual environment of some sort. And Romana, when she says it, thinks it's just a movie. And when he explains it, she says, oh, so it's like a crude form of dimensional matter transference. And then she's like, you know, the dimensional instability of these overlapping ships may cause some anomalies. And the captain, meanwhile, on the bridge, calls down to Azure, which is the planet they were headed to and that they're in orbit of. The doctor pops up and asks if the ship has been anywhere that he could get. The co-pilot could have gotten his hands on the Vraxoan, and the pilot's like, nah, it's like a milk run. We just go back and forth between two planets. Like, that's it. Azure and this other joint. Then he talks about Triss, the zoologist, who's the only one who might have been somewhere like that. And then the pilot confronts the doctor with the fact that Galactic has been out of business for 20 years. And the doctor's like, well, that explains why I haven't been paid in a while. But that apparently explains it all, and it's fine. And then the pilot calls Seka. That's the co-pilot who was blasé and then all paranoid. He calls him to report to the bridge, but he's wandering into a shiny, smoky corridor, like just like a moth to the flame. The doctor is talking to Trist, the zoologist, who tells him about his many expeditions. And the doctor says the machine reminds me of the work of some guy called Stein, who Trist said, oh, I worked with him. He was my mentor. And while they're waxing lyrical about Stein and his business, the other pilot in the spacesuit's just like, I need to get my ship out. Like, come on, I'm on a time clock thing. So on their way out, the doctor makes a crack about Trist's private zoo, and he goes, the machine is preserving endangered species. And the doctor goes, yes, the same way a jam maker preserves raspberries. This is quite funny. You can tell that this is a... had the hand of Douglas Adams in the script editing stage. Romana says, don't mind him. he just likes to irritate people. And then she finds out from Triss that one of his crew died. And she's like, how? And he goes, he died. I'm like, okay, this is very strange. Like, there's some way overacting going on by the bloke playing Triss. The doctor and the captain come across an overlap point where the two ships are overlapping. K-9 says the ships are rejecting each other on a molecular level, and it's dangerous. So the doctor goes off to get some equipment. Romana is inspecting the CET machine again, bringing up various scenarios on the screen, like, you know, different planets. And she ends with Eden, which looks like a lush jungle. And she walks towards the screen, and she sees a face looking out at her. But then the face ducks away. Trist's assistant comes in and turns it off. She says, he doesn't like people touching it. And then she tells Romana the lost crew member was more than just a friend and that they lost him on Eden. And so she doesn't like to look at that one. Down at the matter interface thing, there's a scream. It's the corridor where the co-pilot went. And K-9 warns the doctor about entering the matter interface. They drag out the co-pilot, who's moaning and his face is all scratched up. And K-9 tries to go into the matter interface, but his scanners won't function. So medics bundle the co-pilot off to the sick bay. We see a hand fiddling about in the filing cabinet where the drugs were kept, which is open now. And when the doctor comes in and he's confronted by a gun and shot with a stripy laser. And then the shooter takes the drugs back from the doctor's pocket. Meanwhile, the pilot has gotten Trist and his assistant to watch the co-pilot being operated on by the medics, and he wants to know if there are any live specimens on board. And Trist says they're only laser crystal recordings. And the medic comes up to the window and shakes his head. K-9 leads Romana to the doctor, who says he was bushwhacked. And he tells Romana about the drugs. And she's like, oh, the last source of Rexone was destroyed, the whole planet. But someone has found another source, obviously. The pilots are both antsy with each other. But, you know, they want to keep their schedules. And Romana points out that Trist's machine is primitive and the ship is full of unstable zones. She's like, it wasn't a mirage that attacked Seka, the co-pilot. And the pilot turns up at this point and goes, killed him. And says he's dead. Uh-oh. The doctor sends Romana to deal with the CET machine. He's going to separate the ships. So Romana switches the machine to Eden again and goes over to the screen, staring into it. Meanwhile, down at one of the unstable points, K-9's cutting a hole in the wall in front of the doctor and the pilot. Romana stares into the jungle and a light comes out and stings her on the neck and she collapses. And then the doctor and the captain remove the section of the cutaway wall that K-9 cut with his laser, and a monster pokes through, and that's the end. Oh, whoa. Gee, a lot happens in this episode. All right, there'll be another one next time, part two.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.